Glory, 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 glory to God. Come on, praise Him, church. Praise Him, praise Him. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Jesus. I want you to collect your thoughts and look this direction. When the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, have my people praise me. Many times, you can't beat this choir. It's awesome. But sometimes we'll sit back and let them do the praising while we enjoy the presence of God. But how many of us, God wants to hear your voice? And this service is not complete until you express the sentiment of your soul to Him. Not just to have it in your heart, but to praise Him with your mouth. The Bible even says to praise Him with a loud voice. It says to clap your hands, O ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I'm going to tell you some folks, we need to do that. This revival, I'm going to tell you right now, I won't even preach to Pentecostal people that won't worship God. I won't even go to a church if they sit there and look at me like, preacher, see what you can do with me. That day is gone. It's behind us. People are hungry for Jesus. People are hungry for Jesus. I want you to listen to me, folks. They're lining up at 4:30 in the morning to get in a 7 o'clock meeting at night in Brownsville Assembly of God. Rain's coming down. Umbrellas are up. Canopies are up. And they're singing Victory in Jesus. If they're not doing that outside your door, how many knows there's more? If your shadow's not healing people, there's more. Come on. Let's praise it. Let's praise it. Come on. There's more. We need the glory. We need the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an unusual day and it can't be business as usual. That day is gone. Your little sermons haven't done the job, preacher, nor have mine. I'm sick of my sermons. I'm sick of yours. Amen. I'm not coming to hear you preach. I'm coming to see Jesus. And if I see Him, preach to me. Amen. But if He's not there, I don't want to hear your words. I have no desire to stand up here and preach until He comes down in His fullness. How many knows He comes down as we move into the Holy of Holies? Thanksgiving and praise and worship. I want you right now to give Him a hand of praise like this is the last night. Between you and heaven. Come on. Come on. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. That's the way you praise the Lord. With your whole heart. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Now lift your hands all over this building and say, Jesus, I'm clapping for you. Come on, begin to praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and worship Him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. That's it. That's it. Praise Him. That's it. That's what He wants. That's what He wants right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Join hands with the one next to you. What I'm looking at now is the devil's worst nightmare. God's people coming together from all over the regions. He don't even see the name over your door, but He sees hungry hearts. And we're agreeing that God's will be done in these altars. Lift your voice with mine, Father, in the name of Jesus. This is your service. I'm your servant, preaching your word under your anointing for your glory. Have your way. In Jesus' name, I remove all obstructions. I remove every hindering force. I release the river anointing. And I release the crowd to flow with that river tonight. Jesus' name, Father, your glory to your glory. to your honor. Oh, hallelujah. I praise you for saving souls, wooing and winning backsliders, setting lives free for your glory. Quickly lift your hands one more time. I feel heaven, a breeze is blowing tonight. I feel that glory cloud in this place right now. Oh, would you praise him? Would you praise him? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hand over your heart, please. I want you to pray this simple prayer. They pray it every night in Pensacola, Florida. We prayed it a lot here in this 20-week revival. I want you to say these words. Dear God, speak to my heart. Change my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give him one more hand of praise, and then you may be seated. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. A few moments ago, as they were singing about the roll away the stone, how many knows that that's something that'll excite a person that loves Jesus? I've been to Jerusalem twice. I've been to that place where he was laid twice. It's the only place that people line up to see nothing. How many knows he's not there? Amen. Most tombs are famous because of who's in it. This one is famous because of who's not in it. He's not there. He's here at First Assembly. I wrote a poem. It goes something like this. Buddha, Hare Krishna, Muhammad can never save a sin-sick soul. To do this, it'll take someone greater than Bud, Harry, and Moe. Say amen, somebody. And Sun Myung Moon is not the way, though he claims to be the one. But to find the way, you must go past the moon if you want to get to the sun. Buddha, Hare Krishna, and Muhammad are still dead in the grave. But Jesus Christ is risen in glory and mighty to save. Yes, Jesus Christ is alive, his grace and glory to show. So get your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and forget Bud, Harry, and Moe. Amen. I'm not through. It gets worse. Listen. The dream of Joseph Smith is not a truth. It's a myth. He's myth-informed and myth-led, and of all men, both mithrable and dead. How many knows? They're all dead. There's one alive. His name is Jesus. Come on. He's our leader. Hallelujah. I told Deb the other day, I said, Deb, I said, all the great preachers are dying, and I don't feel so good myself. Amen. Well, how many knows everybody's dead, but Jesus is alive. We're here to worship him. 20 weeks, God's met us in a great way. How many first-timers? You're here for the first time in this revival. Let me see your hand. Amen. Give them a welcome to this revival. Amen. Almost every night, every Monday and Tuesday, a third of the crowd, sometimes even a half the crowd, is first-timers. You see, we don't really have a whole lot to do with this revival. It's just simply knowing how to get out of the way when that river anointing comes in. And the Lord taught us that and is teaching us that as we participate in the great revival in Pensacola, Florida. So we're not orchestrating this revival. It's not about us trying to get people to come. It's about the Holy Spirit in the land that just carries people here. And we'll come out night after night, and sure enough, the crowd is here again, and a third to half new people. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, First Assembly folk are here faithfully. And a lot of them are here Monday and Tuesday to work in prayer teams and work in the choir. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. God is choosing watering holes all across the nation. And I'm going to tell you this. I've said it time and again. In a matter of weeks, there'll not be one city in America where there'll not be a church in the red hot heat of Holy Ghost revival. 24 hours a day, you can find Jesus. I believe that. This is the day of revival. I've lived for this day. I preached for years. There's a revival coming. My message has changed. I preach revival is here. Jesus is coming. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the message of the hour. And for those of you that are new, you probably know the story, but in reiteration, just in 1991, Dr. Cho, who pastors close to 1 million people and spends 3 to 5 hours a day in prayer, was praying in Seattle, Washington. And he asked God a question that you've asked him. And I've asked him, Lord, have you reserved America for judgment or you're going to send revival to America. The Lord led him to get out his attaché case. He pulled out the atlas, laid it there on the bed, and the Holy Spirit led him in prophetic utterance with these words, I'm going to send a mighty visitation of my glory to America. It's going to begin in a seaside city called Pensacola, Florida. It'll burn like a match head there, but then it will spread. Everybody say spread. How many knows that fire spreads? Amen. It will spread all over the America till all of the nation is ablaze with the glory of the Lord. And then may I add, the trumpet's going to sound. You're going to be sucked out of your shoes. You're going to find yourself shouting glory 90 million miles on the other side of the Milky White Way. How many knows the King's coming? Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart that I'd be right in the middle of this last day revival. And I've lived for this day. It's breaking out everywhere. Right before I came to service tonight, for 45 minutes, Dan Schaefer from Crossroads Cathedral talked to me on the phone, as excited as anybody that I have ever heard. Dan Schaefer pastored here years ago. And the river anointing has broke loose in his church. And as he gave me all the stats of the people that are being saved, it just blows my mind. But recently, we brought the entire team from Pensacola in there for two nights of heaven on earth. And the Holy Ghost has broke out in a new dimension. And he told me to communicate this to you just the other day. He went to speak at Theological Seminary in Springfield, Missouri. The bottom dropped out of heaven. The glory fell. Young guys and gals all over the floor. And he is going to be ministering next Friday night. Now, next week, we're taking off here. So if you want to go somewhere next Friday night, Calvary Temple, Springfield, Missouri, Dan Schaefer's going to be there. I'm going to fly back early to be there with him as his request. And we're believing that the whole city of Springfield, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Now, hold your plot. Listen to me. I've got a burden for that area. I was in the offices there. I searched the city for years looking for a revival center. I found good people. I found a lot of good people, but I never found a revival center. And you know, it's something how the devil can just kind of slip us into a stupor, and we go through plans and routines and ruts and rituals, and there's a lot of good people there, but there was no Holy Ghost revival. And the Holy Spirit told me that he was going to use us to see revival come to that Springfield area. As soon as it comes and hits, I'm out of there, folks, because I hate that place. Amen. And I want to get out of there. I'm going to move to Pensacola, Florida. But I'm telling you right now, there's a revival that's in Springfield, Missouri. It started in Theological Seminary. It's brewing. It's growing. Friday night, a mighty anointing is going to be there at Calvary Temple. Stand up with me and let's point towards Springfield. Everybody, hurry. Which direction is Springfield? I'm pointing the wrong way here. Amen. I want you to lift your voice. Now, that's headquarters for the Assemblies of God. It's also Baptist Bible College, and 60-some thousand college students are there. Lift your voice with mine and pray that the Holy Ghost sends a mighty move. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I remove all the religiosity and all the obstructions and every hindrance. I break all bondage. I shatter all shackles. I speak to that city, Springfield, Missouri, Father, and I release the glory of the Lord to come on that place as Dan Schaefer ministers under the anointing at Calvary Temple on Friday night. May the bottom drop out of heaven. May the glory cloud smother the place and the river anointing be released in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for reviving the headquarters of the Assemblies of God, Baptist Bible College, all the college kids in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise him now, right now. Just praise him right now for doing it in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, give him one more hand of praise. Thank you, Father. If you want to know more about the great revival that's going on in Pensacola, Florida, I'm not going to take a lot of time to promote the tapes, but there are two tapes out there that everybody needs. There's something about watching these tapes. There's a spreading. There's a contagion. I don't understand it, but it's transferable. It'll come into your living room. Churches have showed these tapes, and revival's broken out. And so we have the two tapes back there that you need, along with the Feast of Fire book, the story of the great revival. I believe... And folks, even though I'm the ambassador of that revival, I'm not promoting that revival. How can you promote God? I mean, how in the world can anybody promote? He don't need promotion. How many knows he just shows up and he shows off? Amen. How many knows God can flex his muscles and everybody knows he's in the house? Somebody said revival is when God gets tired a man misrepresenting him, so he comes down to represent himself. He knows how to do that, doesn't he? Amen. I'm not promoting Jesus. I'm telling you, he's in the land. And it's an awesome day, and I've got nothing to do with this revival. I'm convinced of that. Other than I know how to get out of the way, and if I ever, ever, ever revert back to John Davis trying to carry water to you, I'm saying, God, strike me dead. Take me back. I don't want to become what I was. We used to carry water. Now the water carries us. In a few moments, we're going to give an altar call for sin. That first call is to repent. Everybody say repent. Amen. Say it again. Amen. That's the watchword and the key word of this revival. Every night, hundreds of people are repenting at First Assembly. After we give that call, some of you that feel pretty good about yourself, God's going to expose sin to expel sin. That river anointing is going to carry you into his presence. Preachers, deacons, leaders, everybody's going to repent in a few moments. I'm believing God. After we repent, the key word is refreshing. Say refreshing. Prayer teams are going to come out and pray for you. We'll barely touch you. We'll say more, Lord, or fresh oil. If you want more than you have, you need to stay. There's no formal dismissal. We're just going to stay in the presence of God. And I'm telling some folks, it's awesome what God is doing. I got a letter just a few moments ago, and I'm starting to get a lot of letters of people whose lives have been changed. And this one person said they were driving 75 to 80 mile an hour to get here at revival tonight, and they were pulled over by a trooper. And as the trooper came up and was talking to them, they began to talk about the revival, and somehow talked the trooper out of giving them a ticket. And they told him that we'd pray for him tonight, you know, in exchange for not getting a ticket. So he gave him a warning. Amen. How many knows God's a miracle working God? And so I really like that. I've got the name of the guy here, Gary, and so I'll tell you who it is in a few moments. But I'll tell you, it's awesome. I was pulled over one time, and I had on my license plate the word decap, and trooper pulled me over, and he looked at that, write me a ticket. And he said, what does that mean? I said, District Christ Ambassador President. He said, what does that mean? I said, I'm youth director for the Assemblies of God, 400 churches in Missouri. He said, Assemblies of God, do you know Governor Ashcroft? I said, oh, yes, I do. He's Assembly of God. I am too. Amen. He tore up the ticket and said, drive safely. Amen. How many knows? Oh, yes. It pays to know somebody. How many knows? We know somebody in high places. Oh, yes, we do. I've got a friend here tonight. I want Brother Miller to come and greet you. Holy Spirit is doing something so awesome today, and only God could put the team together. Before the revival broke out in Pensacola, Florida, Brother Miller had a burden to spread the message of the angel vision or visitation that Brother Kilpatrick had when he was a small boy. And so he put together an article called The Remnant, and he was promoting the ministry of Brother Kilpatrick before the revival broke. Since the revival broke, Brother Miller, Gerald Miller, the editor of The Remnant, and you need to subscribe to this magazine. I look forward to getting it, and it's awesome, and it just carries revival reports. What he's doing today, he's just kind of following the river. As that river is moving across the nation, he'll show up at places where the Holy Spirit is moving in a great way. Protracted meetings are going on. And I want him to come and greet you and just give you an update on what's happening in places he's going. Brother Miller, would you come? Give him a hand of welcome. First Assembly.
If you could trace the trail of revival, the core would begin in Pensacola. And around that core, things are warming up. And what you see in a ripple effect all over the United States, because we can see it in our circulation. We have 38 states subscribing in four countries. And you can see it comes out from the center and more and more and more. You know, Brother John was speaking about how the remnant started. We wrote an article after I heard Brother Kilpatrick give his testimony in Mobile of seeing angels and hearing an audible voice. We took that article to a Christian newspaper, and because it had the supernatural in it, they didn't want to print it. So God said, start a newspaper to show the miracles of God. That was 4 years ago. And how many know that when revival comes, or when a great move of God comes, there's persecution? God is a miracle-working God, and he's in the land today. And I told somebody yesterday, it's like God's energy is like a great big ball, and it's pushing into the church, and then it comes back, and it pushes in. When the full light of God comes into the church, sin will be revealed, and every person in that house that's ill, the works and the glory of God is going to draw the sinner to the church to where you will not have enough room. You'll have to move out into the field like John Wesley for 5,000 souls to be ministered to. If you feel a call on your life tonight, if you're a young man, you're going to be needed in the great harvest. Thank you so much, Brother John.
Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 11th division. Hebrews chapter number 11. Say chapter 11. Say that. Say it again. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I thank heaven for chapter 11. Say it with me. Thank heaven for chapter 11. Say it again. Thank heaven. I believe in paying my debts. How many believes in paying your debts? Two men were bragging, very braggadocious. One said, my furniture goes back to King Louis the 14th. The other one said, that's nothing. Mine goes back to Sears and Roebuck the 15th. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen. I believe in paying my debts, but I owed a debt I couldn't pay. And I discovered chapter 11. Chapter 11 is when you are overwhelmed and you can't pay your debts. And you stand before a judge. You have a lawyer. And as you stand there, there's protection, provision, and promise to give you security while you can work your way out of debt. Ladies and gentlemen, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I stood before the judge. How many knows who he is? God the Father. The lawyer that stood with me was his son, Jesus Christ. I didn't plead my case. I pled guilty. I pled for mercy. And I pled the blood of Jesus. And he covered me. And the creditors, Satan, that wanted to destroy my soul because I couldn't fulfill the demands of the law, he was put in his place. God set me free. He liquidated that debt. And tonight I thank heaven for chapter 11. Shout amen, somebody. And every time the devil tells you you're going to have to go through chapter 11, I want you to take him to chapter 11. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 1, now faith. Say, now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Not just yesterday, not just tomorrow, but now. I read chapter 11, I see people who are overwhelmed. They're destitute. If you will, in the words of T.D. Jakes, who coined this phrase, broke, busted, and disgusted. How many has ever felt that way before? They're overwhelmed, insurmountable odds. And yet because they had faith, they became rich and famous for their faith. You may not have a dime to your name tonight. You may not have enough money to pay your bills. But I'm going to tell you right now, God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, to be heirs of those of the kingdom of God, and those that love him are rich in blessing. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The Bible talks about the richness of his grace and his glory and his mercy, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. My son said he is El Shaddai. He's not El Cheapo. Say amen, somebody. And you may not be a thousandaire or a millionaire, but if you're a blood-bought child of God, you're an heir. I said you're an heir of Jesus, of God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. With somebody going someplace. Don't let the devil bankrupt you spiritually, morally, mentally, domestically, or financially. Stand on the word of God. Stand in his face and shout in his teeth and say, devil, according to God's word, I've got victory over sin, self, Satan, sickness. So get back, get down, get off, get out of here in Jesus' name. I am an heir. Thank heaven for chapter 11. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Moses, Daddy Moses, insurmountable odds, left Egypt with a donkey and a stick and a brother that backslid every 30 days, leading 2 million Assembly of God people. How do you know they were Assembly? Because they griped all the time. How many knows? That's the sign. Amen. pastoring 2 million people. God led them. He fed them. Cloud by day, fire by night, fresh. Out of the bakeries of heaven every morning, angel food cake. What are you saying? I'm saying thank heaven for chapter 11, because when the devil tells you you're not going to make it, you can't take it, the economy is going to crumble, I want you to go and take him through chapter 11 and say, I've got a shelter. I've got a protection. If God provided for Daddy Moses, how many knows he's going to take care of his kids? If he clothed and fed them in the wilderness for 40 years, he's not going to leave us alone. We're not orphans. I said, we're not orphans. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Stand on the word of God. Devil, I'm not going bankrupt. I'm going to file for protection. God's going to help me out. You may not have enough money. You may feel like you don't have enough faith. Pain racks your body, but there's victory in Jesus. Don't plead your case. I said, plead for mercy. Plead the blood. There's victory through your faith. Shout amen, somebody. Uncle Abraham. Say, Uncle Abraham. Ready for the rocking chair and Medicare and Geritol and a Maalox moment. Instead, he's down at Walmart buying Pampers for a baby. Amen, you see? He simply believed God. Now, here's what I'm telling you tonight. The Bible teaches us that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And it don't leave you out in left field. Don't leave you hanging on a limb. It says, this is the victory, even our faith. Stand on the word of God. Thank heaven for chapter 11. Verse number 1 tells you what faith is. The next 39 verses tells you what faith does. Uncle Abraham, victory, because he believed God. Old brother Noah. Say, old brother Noah. Working on a building, preaching 120 years, it's going to rain. They said, what's rain? He said, I don't know, but it's going to rain. Amen. They said, that boat won't float. He said, don't care. It's going to rain. I'm obeying God. Working on the building, swinging that gospel hammer, preaching it's going to rain. Ladies and gentlemen, they jeered and they sneered. But God shut the door and shut them in. And the water was rising, but so were they. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what the church will go through before the rapture. There may be waters of persecution, opposition, obstruction that comes against us, but the greater the devil comes against us, the greater the grace of God, the power and the anointing. I'm telling you, run to chapter 11, file for protection, stand on the word of God. Come on, no patty cake, give him a hand of praise. I thank heaven for chapter 11. Hallelujah. And Sister Noah, all those animals in that boat, she must have said, you know, this place stinks. Amen. You know, at times I look at the church and I say, you know, the church stinks. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you may smell some flesh and you may see chicanery and you may see hypocrisy and the Pharisaic or egotistical spirit may surface ever so often. But Jesus died for the church. It's the only thing afloat. And I'm not going to get outside. I'm going to stay on board. Amen. We're going somewhere. The church of Jesus Christ is not going under. We're going over. We're not going down in defeat. We're going to rise in victory. Come on, stay with the church. There's a revival. This boat is going to float. We're going to make it into Souls Harbor. Give him a hand of praise. He's worth it. They all of these heroes of faith in chapter 11 went through the school of hard knocks. It has its own colors, black and blue. How many's been there? Amen. They had a faith that the lions couldn't eat, the fire couldn't burn, the sword couldn't kill, the jails couldn't hold, the waters couldn't drown. It survived the catacombs and the Colosseum, and that faith is still alive tonight. I feel that faith in my spirit. You see, you don't need to go down in bankruptcy morally and mentally and spiritually and domestically. Even financially, there's a time and a place where you can meet the God who provides all of your needs. Stand on the word of God. If God fed Elijah a T-bone steak in the wilderness and turned a fiery furnace into an insulated, ventilated place for holy men of God to walk in, gave lions lockjaw and protected Daniel, turned the white-capped waves into stately stair steps for his disciples to walk on, said, peace be still, and growling winds and waves hushed like Rover at his master's feet. He floated an axe head. How many knows the axe head was loaned? Amen. So he floated alone. How many knows God can float alone? Oh, yes, he can. If God did that for them, how many knows they were the friend of God? They were the servant of God. They walk with God. They talk with God. But we are the sons of God. We are the daughters of God. We've got a heavenly Father who has abundance. Come on, I'm telling you. I thank heaven for chapter 11. I'm not going under. Give him one more hand of praise. Ever so often, I will just begin to quote Hebrews chapter 11. And as I begin to quote it, it builds my faith. And I see these men of God who just stood, nothing but pure, unmitigated, unadulterated, naked faith. But they stood there. Faith sees the invisible and believes the impossible and accomplishes the implausible. And they just stood there. And I'm telling you, they couldn't be beaten or bought or bullied. They knew God, and they knew that God had said He would provide. And so they just simply stood by faith. When I talk about chapter 11, I'm talking about protection and promise and provision that'll meet every need of your life, every day of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, God has accepted full responsibility for those who are committed unto Him. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. The Holy Ghost is our comforter. And we and the devil are no kin whatsoever. How many knows that? And so I want you to lift up your chin and grin. I want you to look at the positive side. I don't know where you're at financially. I don't know where your kids are tonight. I don't know what's going on in your business. Don't know what's going on in your mind. But I know a God who is able and willing and ready to set you free from the horrors of Satan and give you victory every day of your life. I want to shout it. He is an almighty God, and there's power in the name of Jesus and the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank heaven for chapter 11. This chapter accentuates God's ability, availability, accessibility, reliability, dependability, immutability, invincibility, irrefutability, nobility, instability. How many got all that? Amen. Did you write it down? How many knows the Bible says He is able? Say it with me. He Now that's the battle cry of the church. Daniel 3, the three holy Hebrews. He is able to deliver us out of that fiery furnace. He is able to deliver us out of your hand. John the Baptist on the banks of Jordan. He is able to raise up children from these stones. The champion apostle Paul in Romans, the fourth division. He is able to raise from the dead. Chapter 11, Romans. There it is again. Thank heaven for chapter 11. He is able to bring us together and to graft all into the vine. Ladies and gentlemen, Philippians chapter 3, He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. In Hebrews chapter 2, He is able to comfort those who are tempted. Chapter number 7, He is able to save to the uttermost. In the book of Peter, the Bible says He is able to give you victory. In the book of Jude, He is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding great joy. What He is saying, He's not a puny, weak, anemic God. He's on the throne. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. He has all power, all dominion, all might. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing is too hard. Nothing is hard for Him. Stand on the Word of God. Stand on chapter 11 and say, devil, get back. There's riches that God is going to give me tonight. Come on, praise Him. Not only His ability, but His availability, His accessibility. You see, you may be able to sing a song, but if you're not willing to sing a song, it's not going to bless anybody or bless you. So you see, there's a difference between being able to do something and being willing to do. There's a lot of people that are able to come to church, but they're not willing to come to church. A lot of people are able to give large sums in the offering, but they're not willing. So there's a difference between ability and availability or accessibility. But I want to shout it, not only is God able, how many knows He is willing? I said He is willing. And if you ever doubt that, I want you to take a long look at Calvary. That's God's way of saying, I love you, and I love you, and I love you. He gave earth's greatest and heaven's best. Amen. He's not cheapo. How many knows? He had one son. He gave that son. But now He's got many sons. Now He's got many daughters. What are you saying? I'm saying that's God saying, I will. He said, I will heal the land. I will give you rest. He said, I will be your God. You shall be my children. He said, I will pour out of my spirit. I will build my church. And I will come again. If you open the door, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to heal your body more than you want your body healed. He wants to send a revival to your church, preacher. I said, God wants to bust your church wide open. He wants people lining outside the door to get in to be saved and healed and filled and thrilled and sealed. Come on, how many knows? He's an able God. He's a willing God. He's got all power. There's victory. Thank heaven for chapter 11. Give Him a hand of praise. Give him a hand of praise, everybody. Oh, hallelujah. In the early part of this revival, I shared the story, but you see, I was branded with the Word. I'd memorized a lot of Scripture before I was even in full-time ministry. And since that time, as I've walked with God, the Word of God produces faith, and faith produces victory. But as a small boy, I'll never forget when all hell came against the Davis family. All 10 kids have gone through sicknesses, and as your family has, you know what it is to be ravaged by the fiery fury and force of oblivion. I remember when the doctor shook his head, walked away from the bed, and said, "Reverend Davis, your boy is going to die." It began with pneumonia, led to double pneumonia. Other complications ensued until finally rushed from hospital to hospital. The final fatal diagnosis, your son is going to die. I was there when they brought him back to spend the last few days with family and friends. I was home from school because pain had racked my body. The doctor examined me and said, "John must have an operation or he is facing death. My brother's dying. I'm dying. But we have faith that is living." How many knows if you've got a living faith, a living God, you'll never die? I said, you'll never die. Amen. You may stop breathing, but how many knows I'm going to live on? I said, I'm going to live on. Hallelujah. After 3 months of fighting bull demons from the netherworld, my dad filed for protection under Chapter 11. Oh, yes, he did. He went to Hebrews, the 11th division, and he lived there. He quoted the Word. He believed the Word. He stood on the Word. 3 months of pain racked our bodies, but Dad walked in one day. It looked like physically and mentally he was at his lowest. But when you're at your lowest physically and mentally, how many know spiritually, you're fat in your soul if you're feasting on the Word of God. And he stood there and he said, "God, I don't understand this." He said, "I believe your Word. I've been preaching at the country church that you've got all power, but my boys are dying. I don't understand it, God, but I still believe." Everybody say, "I still believe." Say it again. Now you're going to have to learn how to say that. You're going to have to confess it as you grimace and grit your teeth in pain. No money in the bank, but you still believe. Pain racks your body, but you're in church singing the songs of Zion and shouting the victory. Your family's in the far country, and that son is shaking his fist in your face and told you where to go, but you still believe God. And if you believe God, you may not have money or friends, but how many knows you got victory? I said, you got victory. You can shout the shout of faith. Hallelujah. And my dad there at his lowest said, "God, I don't understand, but I still believe. In the name of Jesus, my dying brother, who was paralyzed from his waist down to his feet, he opened his eyes out of a coma." I was there when it happened. I guess I ought to know, folks. Let me tell you what happened. I'm a witness. I was there. It branded me forever. I'll never be the same. He said, "I want to walk." I thought, "Sure you do, pal, but you can't walk." Before I touched him, the holy, heavy, healing hand of heaven shot down through that ceiling and touched him. And my paralyzed, comatose brother got up and began to run around the house, healed by the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Well, if you don't shout, I'm going to. Yeah. And I'm telling you, my dad was so overwhelmed. You talk about great faith. I'm going to tell you something, folks. He was surprised at his own faith. Amen. He was chasing him around the building. And my brother burst outside in his pajamas, got on a bicycle, hadn't walked in 3 months, got on a bicycle, began to pedal, breakneck speed down North Missouri Street in Potosi, Missouri. And my dad was chasing him down the hill, trying to catch him, praising God the whole way. I tell you, I don't think he ever caught him. Amen. My brother rode on downtown. But Dad burst back in that room, and he looked at me, and I remember the gleam and the glitter in his eyes. He felt like Oral Roberts. He said, "Claim your healing, boy, right now in the name of Jesus." Ladies and gentlemen, little short squatty body, "Claim your healing right now, boy, in the name of Jesus." I felt doodads run up and down my backbone as the same healing virtue flowed through me and set me free. God healed me, healed my brother. Revival broke out there on the hill. We had a tire business next door. People were stopping. The judge came up. A doctor who was an atheist came up with a big book, and he's trying to look through that book to find out what happened. How many knows it's not in man's book? It's in this book. It's called Chapter 11. Amen. Hallelujah! My little brother got off the school bus, and the school bus sat there, and they all watched, because we were shouting. Mom is an old-fashioned Pentecostal woman. She was having a whole fashion. They call it a fit, but it's a benefit. How many knows what I'm saying? She was shouting all over the yard. You see, her boys were healed by the power of God. My little brother came in. My little brother right tonight is the principal of the high school in Salem, Missouri. But all of his life, he talked with a stutter. He couldn't talk without stuttering. But the glory of God was so thick in that house, and it loosed his tongue and set him free. I'm going to tell you, revival broke out on the hill. Why? Because I believe in God. Come on, give him a hand of praise. He's a miracle working, mountain moving, way making, leper cleansing, dead raising. How many knows he is God? Thank heaven for chapter 11. Give him a hand of praise. Lift your hands and praise him all over this auditorium. Lift your hands and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 I want you to be seated tonight, but I want you to listen to me. I believe that the Lord wants me to minister on this because, you see, we're going to come to the end of ourselves. We're going to come to the end of our resources. Something's going to happen to bring the American church to her knees. Anytime the finances is touched, we've got to come to the place where we have to pray literally, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You won't keep people out of church then. They're going to flock to the church. They're going to come to God. But saints of God, I want you to take heart, take hope. I want you to build on this challenge and chapter. Every time the devil, and I remember a time pastoring people where there were several going through chapter 11, and they were just going filing for bankruptcy. And I stood up one night and I said, we're going to file for chapter 11, and we're going to take the devil to chapter 11. And every time he touches your kid, take him to chapter 11. He touches your finance, take him to chapter 11. By faith, through faith, by faith, through faith, by faith, through faith. I believe there's a place in God where you can put knots on the devil's head. Amen. I'm telling you, send him back to hell. Stand on the word of God and say, devil, I'm going to heaven and my family's going with me. Now get out of here. Thank heaven for chapter 11. Something's going to happen. You're going to come to the end of yourself, physically, mentally, domestically, spiritually. You're going to come to the end of yourself. It's not a bad place to be. And you go and you file for protection. And you see, God, my good looks is not doing it. My abilities are not doing it. All of the learned, educated things that have filled my mind is not doing it. I need a higher power, a higher way. Thank heaven for chapter 11. All 10 kids in the Davis family have been healed miraculously at different intervals in their life by the power of God. A sister that was healed of polio. Another sister healed of rheumatic heart. My mom was healed of sugar diabetes. My dad was healed of shingles. On and on it goes. All 10 kids in the family healed, 7 of them in the ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, I asked God not long ago as mom was laying on her deathbed. I put my hand on her head and I said, Lord, crown her with your richest blessing, and she died. And I said, God, I told you to crown her with your richest blessing. He said, I did. How many knows when you die, there's no more suffering, there's no more worry? Come on, keep your faith in God. I said, keep your faith in God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I could extol and accentuate the lives of all these great men of God. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. And I could quote that whole chapter to you, but tonight, God's going to build faith in you. We're moving into a stage in this revival of healings. I'm going to tell you again, folks, I sat behind the old preacher in Pensacola, Florida. I've been there time and again, and he is there about every night. And he turned and said these words, Sonny. He said, isn't this something else? I said, oh, yes. He said, I hardly miss a night. I've been here from the inception. But he said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Everybody say that right now. Yes. Say it again. Yes. He said, the church is getting ready to move into a new phase and a new dimension.
And he said, there's going to be a restoration of apostolic miracles. Now, when he said that, I felt doodads and double doodads run up and down my backbone. I jumped up and I ran out and began to write down what he said, because God said, when I get done with the church, you won't even recognize it. It won't be your church. God don't even see the name of any denomination on any door. No, he don't. He sees humble, hungry, holy hearts. The body of Christ is going to experience a restoration of all nine gifts of the Spirit, the fullness, the freshness, the freedom. It's going to become a spiritual nuclear power plant. We're going to blow the devil off this globe, and then the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be resurrected and raptured, a glorious church. Can somebody shout amen? I'm telling you some folks, I believe God told me to tell you that tonight, so get ready. Turn to somebody and say, get ready. Tell them again. Tell them again. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Come on, tell them right now. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Come on, give him a hand of praise, folks. We're going somewhere with this revival. Deuteronomy 15, every 7 years, the priest would declare debt cancellation. It was called the year of Jubilee, the year of release. Calvary is the greatest debt cancellation. And he not only meets the spiritual need, the domestic need, the mental need. How many knows he meets the financial needs? I said, I believe in paying debts. I'm not excusing anybody from paying debts. I'm telling you spiritually, I thank heaven for chapter 11. Stand on the word of God. I said, stand on the word of God. Job chapter 11, he says, thou shall be steadfast, and thou shall be secure, and thou shall prevail, because God shall be with you. Say shall. 9,837 times in the Bible, I see that word, the eternal shalls. It's been about 18 weeks since I've quoted some of the shalls. I gave you some 18 weeks ago. How many wants to hear some more, folks? Well, take your seatbelt off and put your shouting shoes on. When I come to your favorite shall, I want you to shout, because I believe the healer's in the house. I said, I believe that God's walking up my Messiah. If you don't shout, I'm going to preach to midnight tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, he's here right now. I said, he's here right now. You may not have enough money to pay your bills, but how many knows you've got a heavenly Father who owns it all? And he says, my God shall supply. My God shall.
Get ready, sir.
Thank heaven for chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For whatsoever things ye shall bind on earth, they shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things ye shall loose on earth, it shall be loose in heaven. If any two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. If you abide in me, more is abiding in you. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. And because I live, ye shall live also. And these signs shall. My God, I felt something there. Get ready, folks. I'm talking about the eternal shalls. Thank heaven for chapter 11. Come on. These signs shall fall them to believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall. I'm glad they said they. I don't want to take them up. Amen. But they shall take up serpents. If they drink into the thing, it shall not harm them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick. And they shall. Come on. Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! Yeah, rejoice! Rejoice in the word of God! Hallelujah! Set back down, folks. I ain't finished yet. I'm telling you, I feel right now, I feel the Holy Ghost all over this place. Shall. Say shall. Not might, maybe, think so, could be. You never know, wonder, ponder, flounder. Someday you wake up and it might just happen. No, he said, shall. That's more than a promise. That's a proclamation, matter-of-fact statement. Devil, I'm hanging my hat on that statement. I'm standing on that word. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is the Heavenly Father of John David Davis. He's the God of First Assembly at Miami. He's the God of this last time of revival. Amen. Devil, you can't touch us. You can't hurt us. Amen. If you take our life, we're going to be walking streets of gold. Amen. Either way, we win. I said, either way, we win. Satan, you lose in the name of Jesus. For he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he... Come on, you need to quote it with me. I'm going to tell you why. I was healed in the woods in California 10 years ago, running around with allergies and sickness, and financially I was on the rocks, and I just begin to quote the eternal shall. As I quoted those shalls, I'm telling you right now, folks, it was like shalls were exploding in my spirit. Amen. It works. I said, I'm going to know the word works. I want everybody to get regimented. Come on, open your mouth. You bunch of stupid saints need to realize that you don't need to be stupid any longer. Amen. You're not ignorant. I said you're not ignorant. Amen. This is the word of God. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Come on. Come on, folks. Get in the word. Get the word in you. Hallelujah! Come on, praise him all over the building. There's a revival in the land. Jesus is coming. It's a victorious church. Glory, 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 glory. Karamokorikaya. Oh, hallelujah. Set back down, folks. Listen to me. You're going to go home. You're going to get on the phone. You're going to say, Millie, guess what? He called me stupid and elected. Amen. Stand up and clapping when somebody calls you stupid. How many knows the Bible says, I don't want you ignorant. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires on the heart. Commit thy way in the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct. And they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall, my God, and get ready to fly. Amen. Come on. I'm talking about the eternal shalls. Thank heaven for chapter 11. Ladies and gentlemen, it shall come to pass. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall. And all my servants and handmaidens in those days, I pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And this same Jesus that you see go, he shall come in like manners have seen him go. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin and a salvation. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. Come on, say with me, they shall. And then we which are alive and remain, we shall be called together to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we know not what we shall be, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him. I want to shout at him. We shall behold him. We shall be like him. We shall all rise to meet him. We shall see the King. We shall overcome. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise him all over this building. Lift your hands and praise him. Lift your hands and praise him all over this auditorium. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise him all over this auditorium. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your voice and praise him. Lift your voice and praise him. Jesus, we love you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to be seated just for a moment. I want you to listen to me. 9,837 times in the Bible I see the word shall. You've only heard a portion. I could quote them all night. I do quote them throughout the day. The eternal shalls. Everybody tell somebody, everything shall be all right. Tell them right now. Smoke clears, dust settles. God's on the throne. Jesus Christ is exalted. And the church is marching down the streets of glory, singing the songs of Zion and shouting the victory. Tonight, somebody needs a shot of faith. Somebody that is morally, spiritually, domestically, financially, mentally bankrupt. I want you to run to chapter 11. And I want you to stand there and say, God, provide, protect, and help me by your grace to pay my debts and to be true to you. Jesus is coming. Let me tell you the story that I told 18 weeks ago. True story. And I want to share it with you in closing. My niece had a car accident that left her foot hanging on with shreds of skin. Rushed her to St. Louis Hospital, and they said, we're going to have to take her foot. 30-some years of age, her foot's going to be amputated. Her mom said, no, try to save it. And so they tried. We stood on the Word of God. We quoted the Word of God. We did everything we knew to do. We kept believing God. And then the dark day in Vanessa's life, when the doctor walked in, shook his head, said, Vanessa, we've done all we could do to save your foot. We're going to have to take your foot right now because infection's spreading up your leg. And you're going to lose your leg if we don't take your foot. And she was so heartbroken. She said, Uncle John, it was the darkest day of my life. Demons shouting with glee. The Bible is just a bunch of hyperbole. Demons are screaming in your ear. It doesn't work. And you know what? She was at that place where doubt began to cloud her mind. Why? 27 operations, 7 preachers in the family, going to lose her foot. 1,000 questions, trial black on 1,000 midnights. And while they prepared for the surgery, her mom tried to lift her up. But there are times in your life, it's going to take more than family members. It's going to take more than good words from a preacher's mouth. How many knows you got to have a faith in God that's rooted and grounded all the way in the Word? And as she lay there somewhat in a coma of disappointment, her mom had a calendar. It was a promise calendar. And for each day of the year, each birthday, there were scriptures. She said, Vanessa, right before the doctor comes, she didn't have a Bible with her. Let's just see what these scriptures are. And so she turned to my brother's birthday scripture and shared it. Vanessa said, I didn't even hear it. Turned to a sister's birthday scripture, didn't even hear it. Right before the doctor burst in to take her foot, said, Vanessa, here's your birthday, and here's the scripture for your birthday. And she read it, Proverbs 3:26. For the Lord shall, say shall. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Vanessa said, Uncle John, somebody touched my foot when she said that. And somebody picked it up, and I looked at the foot of the bed. She said, Uncle John, nobody was there. I said, oh, yes, there was, hon. It was the fourth man in the fiery furnace. He came down in the hospital room. Ladies and gentlemen, that was some 4 or 5 years ago. These years go by so fast. Vanessa is healed. She didn't lose her foot. She's walking. She's talking. She's praising and glorifying God. I want to shout it tonight. He is a miracle-working God. And I dare you to dare him. I dare you to stand on chapter 11 and say, devil, I believe God. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands and praise him all over this building. Lift your voice and praise him in the back. Praise him in the presence of Jehovah. Come on, lift your voice and praise him tonight. Lift your voice and praise him tonight. Lift your hands and praise him. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Open your mouth and praise him out loud. For 30 seconds, I don't want you looking around, walking. I want you to lift your voice and praise him. Lift your hands and praise him. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For 15 more seconds, would you praise him tonight? 15 more seconds, would you praise him tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 5 more seconds. Lift your voice and praise him. Lift your voice and praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice and praise him all over this building.
In the presence,
lift your voice and praise him. Praise him, everybody. Lift your voice and praise him.
God Almighty.
Jesus, Jesus. As they play that song softly, everybody open your eyes and look this direction. I preached about a miracle working God, but I told you I owed a debt I couldn't pay. And I found somebody to pay it. The old account was settled some 30 years ago in my life. Sins are gone. I'm right with God. Before God will save your family, heal your body, set you free, meet your needs, the greatest need you have is to get all that sin and junk out of your life. And this revival is not run down here in your sin and God will just bless you on top of your sin. This revival is about repenting. Everybody say repent. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, all over America right now, altars are filling up. People are running down aisles. Men and women, boys and girls are repenting, getting right with God. People drive up to the parking lot at Brownsville Assembly of God and they'll tell the parking attendant, I've come tonight to give my heart to Jesus. What's going on in America? God's getting us ready for the miracles. God's getting us ready for the restoration of the apostolic miracles. He's getting us ready for the fullness of his glory. But the glory falls on holiness. Everybody say holiness. That means all sin's got to be taken out of you. All sin is going to be taken out of you. If you sat there tonight with a critical spirit, if you sat there tonight with a judgmental attitude, jealousy, pride, arrogance, haughty, heady, high-mindedness, you sat there tonight with sins of omission, good things you know to do, you're not doing. God's called you to be a prayer warrior. God's called you to witness. He's called you to minister. If you sat there with sins, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I won't even touch you on the head until you repent. Because all the preachers in the world can't help you until you say, Jesus, set me free from my sin. It's time to repent. I said, it's time to repent. Preacher, leader, deacon, look at me. All of your titles I want you to take and throw down right now. God sees your heart. If there's junk in you, it's going to hinder the glory of God from blessing your life. If there's something in you that's holding you down and holding you back, it's going to hinder that prayer of faith from setting you free. In a few moments, God's going to anoint me. I'm going to pray the command of deliverance. I believe that God showed me there's going to be a spirit of healing and hope and help sweep across this crowd. People are going to be set free from disease, sickness, and Satan. But before that happens, we got to deal with sin. Everybody say sin. God hates it. It'll destroy your life. I said it'll destroy your life. In the name of Jesus right now, bow your head and close your eyes. And nobody leaves this building. I'd ask God to station a sentry outside the door to keep the devil out and to keep you in here until you deal with that sin. I'm telling you right now, if we worship God a few moments ago and you didn't lift your hands and clap your hands because you think you know so much of the word that you don't have to get involved in worship, you're making God sick. Preacher, you're making God sick. I remember when God said, son, you make me sick. I'd go to district functions and I'd sit there like the rest of the officials and everybody else was shouting and praising God, but not me. You see, I had matured. I'm going to tell you, God's not looking for theologians. He's looking for children. He said, except you become as children, that pride's got to leave your heart tonight. And I don't care if I offend you. I'm not here to win your applause. I don't care what you think of me. John Davis is a dead man. I can take you to the place when I die to your approval. And I don't care what anybody thinks but Jesus. And he told me to tell you to repent. Say repent. Say it again. Lift your hands right now to the Lord. As you lift your hands, I'm going to set you free to receive conviction. I remove all obstructions out of your life. And I release the glory of the Lord to come on you right now. I set you free from your pride, your haughtiness, your arrogance, from all that you know about God. And yet you don't have enough power to have victory yourself, much less share with others. I release you right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I release that river anointing to flow across this place. And I release your people to flow that anointing. Backsliders, sinners, saints with secret sins, convict, convince. Do it right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody put your hands down. Open your eyes and look at me. If you say, John Davis, God's showing me there's something in me that he wants to take out. There's sin in my life. There's junk in my life. And I'm coming to repent. Don't raise your hand. Just quickly get out of your seat and come down here. Hurry up. You're coming all the way from the back. Come on. Run down here in the name of Jesus. Come on. Don't you wait a second. Don't you look around. God's convicted you. Come and stand right here. Come and stand right here. Stand in the presence of God. All over this building, you're coming right now. Come on. Come on. Hurry. You feel the Holy Ghost convicting you. How can you sit up there so smug and snug? The church needs to repent. Sinners need to repent. Backsliders need to repent. Come on all across this building. Come on right now in the name of Jesus. If somebody tells you to move, get out of the way fast. God's dealing right now. God's dealing. There's a crowd here, but there's that many more that's still out there. You need to be here right now. Come on in the name of Jesus. John, I'm coming to repent. Hurry, hurry. Come on. Come on in the name of Jesus. Run down this aisle. Keep your hands in the air. Once you get here, lift your hands and praise Him. Lift your hands and praise Him. I believe there's another crowd out there that needs to respond. Come on right now. God bless your sis for coming. The Holy Spirit's dealing. Come on right now. Come on right now. I'm coming to repent, John. Lift your hands and praise Him as they keep coming. Troubles vanish. Sing it, Dave. I believe the Holy Spirit's moving on others. Troubles vanish. Hearts amended.
Hearts amended.
Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on, keep coming. That's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on tonight. Come on tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want all saints, lift your hands in praise, and as we sing it one more time, in the presence.
In the presence
of Jehovah.
Of Jehovah.
God Almighty. Lift your hands in praise into the Bible.
God Almighty.
Oh yes. He's the Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
Troubles vanish. Hearts are mended.
Troubles vanish.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Hearts are mended.
In the presence.
In the presence.
Jesus. 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 I want everybody that's standing out there behind your pews to look at me. The rest of you keep praising God. I want to talk to you right now. This is the day when God's purging and cleansing the bride. He's getting us ready for a restoration of the fullness and for that rapture of the saints. Here's what I want you to do right now. And I'm going to tell you some folks. There's still a lot of people standing out there that you've got something in you that you need to repent of. And you need to be here. And you're going to go home tonight, slip into your bedroom, ask God to forgive you. He's going to say, shut your mouth. You wouldn't come and stand for my son when I pled with my spirit. And because you're ashamed of me tonight, I'm going to be ashamed of you. I believe God will tell you that. This is not a revival about sneaking into a back door. It's a revival about getting the sin out of your life and getting the junk out of your life. If you lack a hunger and a thirst for God, that's a sin. You know down deep inside right now, I saw about three more people just come. The Holy Spirit's moving right now. I'm going to wait 10 seconds. And if there's a doubt in your heart that you're in God where you need to be, if there's a doubt in your heart that all is well, I'm starting the countdown. One more just came. I'm going to 9 seconds. Get out of your seat right now in Jesus' name. 8, 7. No, wait a second. Don't you look around for anybody. God bless you, hon. God bless you, sis. God bless you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. My God, they're still coming, folks. Another one's a coming. Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him, church. Praise Him, church. Praise Him. Hallelujah. I'm starting at 5 right now. 2 more's are coming. 5, 4, 3. Get out of your seat. Run down this aisle. You're coming to repent. You're not pleading your case. You're pleading guilty, pleading for mercy. Plead the blood of Jesus. I'm falling for chapter 11, God. I've come to the end of myself. I know there's more, and I'm coming to repent. I need to receive more. I'm starting at 5, and I'm coming down. The countdown's on. This is your night. Another one's coming. 5, 4, 3. Get out of your seat and run down here. If you need Jesus, you need to repent. 2 more's are coming. 2 more's are coming. Another one. Come on. 3, 2, 1. Get out of your seat and run down here right now. Come on. You need Jesus. You need to repent. My God, my God. I want everybody standing out there right now. I want you to turn to the one next to you, and I want you to ask him this question. Don't do it yet. Listen to me. In a few moments, ask him, do you need Jesus to forgive you and set you free? If they say yes, Get out of your seat and walk down here with him. I'm going to beg you not to lie, because you're not lying to John Davis, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. If God's convicting you that you need to be set free from sin and junk, then you need to come. I want everybody right now to turn to the one next to you and ask him, do you need Jesus to forgive you and set you free? If they say yes, come down here with them right now. Two more are coming. Come on, hurry. My God, I feel the release. Come on, God bless you. Father and Son, two more are coming. Hallelujah, another one's a coming. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. My God, Sariki. A couple more are coming. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we waited? Two more just came. Aren't you glad we waited, folks? Come on. Come on. Give him a hand of praise, everybody. Don't pat a cake. Another one's are coming. Come on, praise him. Church, you need to be excited about the altar call. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now everybody just lift your hands and praise him out loud. Come on, lift your hands and praise him out loud. Worship him, church, worship him. In the presence, that's where we're at tonight. Presence of Jehovah.
Of Jehovah.
God Almighty, sing it out.
Jesus. Almighty.
Two more are coming. Thank you, Jesus.
Prince of peace.
Troubles vanished, hearts amended.
Troubles vanished.
Oh, hallelujah. Hearts amended.
Oh, hearts amended.
Oh, hallelujah.
In the presence of
Jesus.
The King.
Jesus. I want you to close your eyes. Two little boys just walked down the aisle, and all of heaven is standing on tiptoes to see that. I'm telling you something, folks. I got so sick of my preaching, and I got sick of people saying, wow, what a message. I got sick of myself. I wanted to see people set free from sin. That's what this revival is about. Deacons causing trouble in churches, pat me on the back and say, my, you're a preacher. I want to say, my, you're going to hell if you don't stop fighting the preacher and get right with God. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm not a smart aleck. If anybody knows John Davis, they'll tell you that. But I just told you right now, the rapture is getting ready to happen. And the greatest sign of the time is hundreds and thousands of people coming to churches all over the nation for refreshing, for revival. Some of you that are stuck in the old days and said it's not like it used to be, I'm telling you, folks, God's doing a new thing. And if you're criticizing, if you're critiquing, if you're judgmental, you're going to be left behind. They're coming from all over the world because they're hungry. They're sick of religion. They're sick of our churches. But they're hungry for Jesus. Do you want to see him tonight? My God, praise him one more time. I'm telling you, my heart is broken right now. I feel the Holy Spirit right now is moving across this crowd. I'm waiting for somebody before I pray this prayer of repentance. I'm waiting for you. If you need to be here right now, quietly, quickly, get out of your seat and come and stand. John Davis, I don't know what it is, but God's convicting me. He's pulling me. And I'm coming because he's dealing with me. Jesus, I want to be free. I want to be free from sin. Set me free, Lord. Set me free, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I want everybody to put your right hand over your heart, please. And I want you to pray this prayer. You're not talking to Pastor Baser, Brother Jerry, or Evangelist John Davis. You're talking to God. I want you to say these words out loud. Dear God, say it louder. Dear God, I'm not ashamed to stand in your presence. You gave your son that I might be saved. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I needed protection. I stand on chapter 11. I believe in the provision for my sins right now. In Jesus' name, I repent. As humble as I know how, I confess there's sin in my life. There's junk in me. Take it out. Take it all out. Cleanse my life. Purge me. Make me clean. White with God. Whiter than snow. I stand on your word. You cannot lie. According to your word, right now, as I repent, ask for forgiveness. My sins are forgiven, forgotten, forever. Under the blood, behind your back, in the sea. Right now, according to your word, I'm clean, pure, holy, through the word and the blood of Jesus. I shout it. I shout it. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free, cleansing my life, paying a debt that I owed. Right now, I'm your child, ready for heaven, ready for the rapture, ready for revival. Devil, you lose. In Jesus' name, there's victory in my life. From this night on, I shout it. I shout it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now praise Him, everybody. Just while you're clapping your hands, lift your voice and praise Him out loud. All over this building, come on, clap your hands, all your people. While you clap your hands, open your mouth and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory to God. Those that are standing here, I want you to look at me and listen to me. In 20 weeks, there's been 20,000 people come forward like this to repent. Over 20,000. We're just saying over 10,000 people. Because you know what? When you say over, you're not lying. And we don't want to offend anybody, because in Pensacola, they're very careful with the statistics. It's not a revival about statistics. It's a revival about changed lives. Change lives, folks. That's what it's about. Give Him a hand of praise. Give Him a hand of praise. Come on, praise Him for it. Praise Him for it. I want the prayer team to line up behind me, and I want those that are standing here to listen to me. The service is just beginning. Here's what's going to happen now. For that crowd that wants 3 hours of Jesus, they're gone. The crowd that wants 2 hours of God, they're gone. It's the satisfied crowd. They're geared in tradition. Their services are so-so. But there's a crowd that says, I want God to change my life. And regardless how long it takes, I want to bathe in His presence. In a few moments, the river anointing is going to just take loose in this place. The glory cloud is going to come down and smother and cover this place. You're going to see people laying all over the floors, people shaking, people weeping, people laughing. We don't seek any of that. We seek Him. But how many knows, when you plug into the power that created this world, something's going to happen in you, physically and mentally. Manifestations is just the response to the glory of the Lord. And you never want to fight manifestations, because if you're too proud, then the glory is going to pass you by. Now you're hungry. I can take you to people who have had life-changing experiences on the floor here late at night, shaking in the power of God. Preachers back in ministry whose lives have been changed. I'm going to tell you, the president of Pentecostal Bible College down the road is with us tonight, Larry Martin. He's been here every night except recently. He's been in a great revival in Rush Springs, Oklahoma. God changed his life. Men of God, so are you. But he knew there was more. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, there's more. There's more than you've ever had in your life. And if you're hungry, I'm going to bless you right now. As I lift my right hand to bless you in the Old Testament, Those that want to receive the blessing would lift their right hand toward the priest. I'm not going to beg God for anything. He don't want beggars. He wants believers. He told me what to say. I'm going to say it over your life. And then the prayer team is going to come and lay hands upon you. As we touch you, we'll barely touch you. But the glory of God is going to come on you. And you're going to be changed. Right now in Jesus' name, I just remove all obstructions from this place. I remove every hindrance out of your life. I release you from all the powers of darkness. Every negative emotion, even back to your childhood, I take it out of your mind right now in Jesus' name. And I set you free in the name of Jesus to flow with that river anointing that's been in this place for 20 weeks. I release that river to carry you into a new dimension, the freshness, freedom, fullness of who He is. I rebuke the sin of religion, religiosity, I curse it. And Satan, I curse you, I coax you, I drive you out. I release the people from the bondage and the baggage of their past, the fear of the future, the torment of the present. Right now, I just release the glory cloud to come down upon your life, and I bless you with divine impartation. The glory is coming on you. He's coming in you right now. I cancel Satan's assignment against your life, and I break that generational curse right now. Lift your other hand right now and say, yes, Lord. Just begin to praise Him. Just begin to praise Him. Just begin to praise Him all over this building. Just begin to praise Him. Some of you have driven miles to be here. If you're out there in that pew, but you want fresh anointing, get out in the aisles and stand there. The teams are coming back tonight. There's no formal dismissal at First Assembly. This river anointing will carry you into the fullness. People have been here at midnight, sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning. We carry them out in wheelchairs. Nobody's in a hurry. This revival is about that river anointing, just waiting in the presence of God. The crowd that don't want it, they're done gone. We're not reaching them. I don't want to preach at their churches. They couldn't pay me enough money. There's a hungry crowd. They're saying, Jesus, we want you. Right now, in Jesus' name, receive the fresh anointing. Prayer teams, I release you right now as they sing and worship. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.